It's 5:30. I'm Nora Flaherty, and you're listening to Maine Public Radio. Just ahead, an update on the effects of the deluge that drenched much of Maine today. And we'll examine Governor Paula Page's surprising statement last night about an alleged case of welfare fraud. We'll have those stories in your Maine newscast in a moment. But first, this national and world news from NPR. This is Maine Public Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. A massive rainstorm drenched much of the state today, leading to flood warnings, street closures, and causing some businesses and schools to shut their doors for the day. Tom Porter has the story.
That's the sound that greeted most Mainers as they awoke Wednesday morning. Steady, heavy rain. And in parts of the state, the downpour just kept getting heavier and heavier.
Between 11 and 12, Portland had 2.22 inches of rainfall.
Tom Hawley is with the National Weather Service office in Gray, Maine.
That's really when the stuff hit the fan, so to speak, down there in Portland with all the flooding they had.
A number of Portland businesses closed early Wednesday, and the University of Southern Maine shut all campus offices at lunchtime. Several streets were also closed.
Certainly marginal way around Whole Foods was hit hard. Park Ave, Woodford's Corner, Forest Ave around Exit 6, Commercial Street.
City of Portland spokesperson Jessica Grondin says extra police and fire department personnel were deployed to help out.
It was really hard to keep track. It was coming in so fast because of that 1 hour period where we got 2.2 inches of rain.
In some places, cars were confronted with pond-sized puddles 2 feet deep. Much of Portland's working waterfront was also underwater as the rainfall combined with a high tide to threaten a number of wharfside businesses.
I hadn't seen rain like that in quite a while.
Harry Wright is bartender at Jay's Oyster Bar on Portland Pier, where he's worked for 10 years. Despite the fact that floodwaters were lapping at the outside of the building, Jay's stayed open for business.
Not in my years here, we've never closed due to the flooding.
The heavy rain, coupled with high winds, also took its toll on power customers, with about 15,000 central Maine power consumers in the dark Wednesday afternoon. CMP spokesperson Gail Rice says about 5,000 of those affected were in Sagadahoc County due to a flooded substation in Bath.
There were cars parked nearby, and we needed to shut down that facility in order for people to be able to get their cars out of that area safely.
Meanwhile, Emera Maine, which serves much of northern and down east Maine, reported about 10,000 customers without power at one point. The National Weather Service's Tom Hawley says many parts of southern Maine, including Windham, Gorham and Lewiston, got more than 6 inches by mid-afternoon. While conditions for the evening commute are much improved in the southern half of the state, Hawley says heavier rain is expected to persist in northern and down east Maine until about 8 p.m. at the latest. Then, he says, we're in for a break, with dry and sunny conditions forecast for much of the state on Thursday. For MPBN News, I'm Tom Porter.
Governor Paula Page has long opposed using state assistance for a group of people that he often mischaracterizes as illegal aliens. And during a town hall meeting last night in Bucksport, the governor offered up another example of what he says is welfare fraud being committed by a non-citizen. He says it illustrates why the state needs to work harder to protect taxpayers. A.J. Higgins has the details.
The Bucksport town meeting had just gotten underway when the governor was asked about the arrival of immigrants in the state. LePage responded by offering an example of why he says Maine is going broke trying to pay for them.
I won't say the hospital because you'll recognize it, but a hospital in Maine, a lady came in for the third time to give birth to a third baby. She has given birth to 3 babies in 5 years.
And LePage says this woman is anything but a typical Mainer.
She comes over when she's about 6.5 to 7 months pregnant, gets on the dole, as we call it, and then she gives the birth. She stays about 4 or 5 days after to make sure everything's okay, gets on a plane and goes back to the Middle East.
Where in the Middle East, or why the woman would have taken a round-trip flight to Maine for the purposes of giving birth was unexplained by the governor. So was the origin of the story. LePage did make clear who was getting the bill for the deliveries, as well as the fact that he is addressing the situation, a statement that prompted a round of applause for many in the Bucksport audience.
I finally got the information. So it won't happen a fourth time, I guarantee you that. And this time, the first time, the state paid for the birth. The second time, the state paid for the birth. And right now, we're refusing to pay for the third birth. Because I have taken money away from the elderly, the disabled, and the mentally ill to pay for those folks. So I am all in.
A representative of the Maine Hospital Association said his organization could not comment on the governor's remarks, But the Maine People's Alliance, a progressive group that advocates for members of the state's immigrant community, said LePage's anecdote is difficult to believe. Mike Tipping is the MPA's communications director.
He has lied dozens of times at these town halls, and it's been well documented, just blatant lies. And I think this is another unfortunate example of the governor attacking immigrants in a really unfortunate way. And the reason he's doing that is to distract attention from his own economic failings as governor and really try and blame someone else.
Representative Drew Gattine, a Democrat from Westbrook, is the House chairman of the legislature's Health and Human Services Committee. He said the idea that a person would travel to Maine from halfway around the world to have a child with the intention of not paying for those costs didn't seem to make sense from an economic perspective. But, more importantly, Gattine said if such a scenario did take place, the state would probably not be getting the bill.
Our Maine Care program does not pay for immigrant health care or for non-citizens. So I don't understand the scenario that he's describing of a person coming here, you know, 6.5 months pregnant so that they could qualify for that kind of public assistance. So that doesn't make sense either.
Representative Gattine is wrong about many things when it comes to DPHHS, and this is one of them.
David Sorensen is the communications director for the State Department of Health and Human Services. He says the department cannot comment on individual cases because of confidentiality restrictions. But Sorensen says the governor's conclusions about who could potentially be stuck with the bill when a person who is visiting the state gives birth to a child and then leaves almost immediately are correct.
Certainly, there could be a situation where Medicaid is required to reimburse for a childbirth of either an undocumented or a documented alien.
Senator Eric Brakey, a Republican from Auburn who is the Senate chairman of the legislature's HHS committee, said he is not familiar with the details of the case, but he says it's emblematic of a larger issue facing Maine and the nation.
It's a very real problem we have. You cannot have open borders and a welfare state. If you have that, then you just open the path for everyone to come here for the purpose of receiving welfare benefits, and that's going to bankrupt this country.
The governor did not mention any specific legislative action he would like to see taken to restrict state-funded medical services for immigrants who are legally present in Maine. But at least one lobbyist hinted that some type of proposal could be in the works. For MPBN News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
Finally today, the number of drug-affected babies born in Maine is on the rise, according to the state's Department of Health and Human Services. The agency hosted a conference in Portland today to draw attention to the fact that substance abuse affects more than 900 Maine babies born every year. The state's encouraging collaboration between health providers as a way to lower those numbers. But as Patty White reports, some who treat addiction say the state needs to increase funding for services.
Like a lot of people who struggle with opiate addiction, Danielle, whose name has been changed for this story, started with a legitimate prescription for pain medication. It was due to complications from labor with her first child.
I barely took Tylenol before, and it was legitimately just to be okay. It wasn't to get high or anything like that. But then eventually I realized that I couldn't go without it, and that was very scary for me.
Danielle started buying prescription pain medication off the street and realized she needed help. She got treatment for about 6 years, and then she unintentionally got pregnant.
We were using protection, but it just happened to be, and I panicked.
But Danielle ultimately gave birth to a healthy baby and credits her treatment with getting her life back on track. She and her husband have good jobs. They own a house. And both her children, she says, are thriving.
I was one of the lucky ones.
Over an 8-year period, from 2006 to 2014, the number of drug-affected babies in Maine jumped from around 200 to almost 1,000.
We currently have up to 8% of all of the babies born in Maine who are actually drug-affected.
State Chief Health Officer Chris Pizzullo was among those in attendance at a conference on the issue organized by DHHS, which is calling on health providers and community organizations to work together to reduce the impact of substance abuse during pregnancy. But Dr. Mark Publicker, who's treated addiction for the past 3 decades, says one of the best ways to do that is to ensure women get treatment before they're pregnant. And access to treatment, he says,
fundamentally is dependent on access to insurance.
Maine has reduced eligibility for MaineCare in recent years, and it's also cut reimbursement rates for methadone treatment. Brent Miller of the Discovery House in Bangor says that means treatment centers have reduced capacity. Though a pregnant woman is always put at the top of the list of admissions, Miller says she may still have to wait.
At one time, I was doing 16 intakes, new admissions a week. I'm down to 8 now.
Two treatment centers in southern Maine, Mercy Recovery Center in Westbrook and Spectrum in Sanford, announced recently they would close due to declining reimbursements and rising numbers of uninsured patients. Dr. Publicker, who used to work at Mercy, says there are treatment holes throughout the state, including Cumberland and York counties in southern Maine, as well as less populated areas.
There are places in western parts of the state and more rural parts of the state where simply treatment is not available.
But DHHS spokesman David Sorensen points out that once a woman becomes pregnant, she's automatically eligible for MaineCare.
And on top of that, me and DHHS spends tens of millions of dollars annually on drug addiction treatment for the uninsured. And certainly women who may become pregnant are eligible for those services.
Before Susie, not her real name, became pregnant, she says she had to pay out of pocket to get treatment after battling opiate addiction for about 10 years. She says it cost her $100 a week.
I really wish, actually, that's one of the things, I really wish the insurance was easier to get and that they did more for addiction treatment and insurance plans, because it would make it easier for people to come here.
Here is Discovery House in Bangor, where Susie's had about a year and a half of treatment. When she became pregnant about 5 months ago, she was nervous, she says, but
it also reaffirmed the fact that I needed to continue on the path I was going, the better life that I was leading.
Susie now receives MaineCare coverage for her treatment. She does worry about juggling her treatment along with a new baby, but she says she can't wait to one day educate her child about addiction and about not judging those who struggle with it. For MPBN News, I'm Patty White.
And at 13 minutes before 6, it's time to check the weather forecast with meteorologist Paul Cousins.
Hopefully you have all floated above the high water mark during this most copious tempest since June. The rain will be ending east and north this evening. Complete clearing, Rangeley-Lubeck north, clouds breaking late farther south. Windy, much cooler, upper 30s north to upper 40s south. Tomorrow's still very brisk. Skies mostly sunny, Old Town North. Morning sun fading during the afternoon throughout western, central, and down east Maine. Southern Maine, some dim sun early, then overcast during the afternoon. Low 50s north to low 60s south. Friday, once again, bright sunshine north, filtered across the mountains, Penobscot Valley. Lewiston, Auburn, Machias south, overcast with possible showers clipping coastal communities. All eyes turn towards the hurricane early next week. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
And that's our program for today. Thanks to Caroline Losneck, Ed Morin, Mal Leary, and Andrew Catalina. I'm Nora Flaherty. Stay dry.